throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit Source and Symphony, we look at the current energies, the divine wisdom, and we go as guided. And par for the course, we are wrapping up February, this leap year. Tomorrow is going to be February 29th. And we have a very interesting play with numbers. Multiples, so multiple twos, multiple eights, multiple 28s, multiple tens. You see there's this doubling effect going on. And again, as you're joining from around the globe, put a comment in, say hello. Let us know where you're joining from. And remember that we take your comments and questions live throughout the show. So let's jump in. I'm going to show you the current energies. And we're going to leap in. See, there's that leap year. We're going to leap in. And notice all of the twos, all of the eights. And there's going to be something very interesting that is occurring today. And you will see how this also plays. It's a Mercury, Saturn, and the Sun are conjunct, meaning it's a Kazemi. And they are conjunct and in Aquarius. And you will see how it also sits, this that has not occurred, this Mercury, Saturn, Sun, Kazemi being conjunct is rare, and it hasn't happened in 28 years. Welcome, Alicia. Welcome, Olivia. And so, again, the 28. So here up on the screen, we have the main energies. It's two representing the receptive and to reflect. 28 is about critical mass and how we adjust this, how we're reaching this critical mass, and with our main theme, which you will see in a moment, how this critical mass adjust is at an apex moment. It's an 8-year all year long. It's uniting, unite. They culminate, all of these double 28s, the 2 and the 8 become a 10, double 10s become a 20. It's contemplation. It's a higher overview. And then, of course, it all reculminates back to the 2. So we begin with the 2. We bookend with 2s. And the 2, again, the receptive, the reflect, the divine feminine, the divine mother. Grace, intuition, knowing. And so we have all of these doubles. So again, double twos, double eights, double 28s, double 10s, culminating in 20, which culminates in a 2. Our main theme, high noon, high time for change. So the Unseen says, high noon, high time for change. And high noon means precisely noon, the most advanced, flourishing, or creative stage or period, or the time of a decisive confrontation or contest. So that's what high noon means. And then high time for change. Someone saying in an emphatic way that something should happen or be done now, or really should have happened or been done sooner. So we have this high noon aspect, and on the image you see this radiating sun with all of the starburst coming off of it at high noon. And so it's high time. It's high noon. And back on the 14th of February, we had Bring Me a Higher Love. So again, this theme of higher, higher ideal, higher octave, higher point, higher aspirations, higher love. There's this reaching higher. And I'm going to share my screen with you all, and I'm going to show you it's the orrery chart for this Mercury, Saturn, Sun, Kazemi that is occurring today. And here it is. And what I want you to look at is at the very top, so high noon, 12 noon, but just go slightly to the right, and you're going to see a very dark, solid black line. At the bottom, it says MC, and at the top, you see the symbol for the sun. So that is literally on this astrological chart, although it's tilted to almost 1 o'clock. But in essence, that is the midheaven. The MC is known as the midheaven. It's the highest point in the sky. So it represents our career. It has to do with the 10th house and career and goals and public image, aspirations. But the point here is that here you see the sun. To the left of the sun in green is the symbol for Mercury. And to the left of Mercury in black is the symbol for Saturn. So here's this sun, Mercury, Saturn conjunction, Kazemi. And it's literally sitting, the sun is literally sitting on the midheaven, all at 9 degrees. And the nine represents the completion of a cycle. So it's high noon, it's high time for change. There's a completion. The unseen is saying, been there, done that, we're done with this. Let's move forward, we're moving on. And what's interesting as well is if you look, there's a blue line down in the center circle of the astrological chart. And you see that when you look to the left, it is beneficially connecting Jupiter, the great benefactor. So we literally have the life force, the sun, the life force, Mercury, the way we communicate, Saturn, the great teacher, all in a harmonic aspect to Jupiter, the great benefactor. So I'm bringing this up for a moment, and then I'm going to switch, and I'm going to read from, as I bring it up here, this is astrologer Chani Nicholas, and it's her weekly newsletter. And if you don't know Chani Nicholas at ChaniNicholas.com, by all means, go and visit her, much like Pam Youngins, two very different astrologers and yet beautiful messaging. But here's what Chani has to say about this Kazemi that's occurring today. She says, on February 28th, we have a rare alignment of the Sun, Saturn, and Mercury, who are all gathered at 9 degrees Pisces. When a planet makes an exact conjunction with, aka is in the same place as, the Sun, traditional astrologers view it as a special moment in that planet's travels. This is called a Kazemi, which means in the heart of. It's a time when that planet is thought to go from a dire situation to one that will infuse it with the vitality it needs. Similar to being dehydrated and then getting an IV of fluids, this infusion, it's also thought that the planet itself is granted special access to the source of all power, light, and life. Much like getting a private meeting with a person of great influence, wisdom, and respect. So here, Mercury and Saturn are Kazemi. They're in the heart of the sun. So they're being revitalized. They've completed a cycle, this nine, and they are coming back to be rejuvenated. She goes on to say, to have two planets align with the sun at the same time is what is especially rare and possibly auspicious about this week's astrology. So again, remember, this has not happened in 28 years. So it was 1996 when this Kazemi of Mercury, Saturn, and the Sun last occurred. She says, since Wednesday's Kazemi features Saturn, the lord of time, structure, commitment, discernment, and delayed gratification, and Mercury, the messenger, the scribe, translator, counter, and magician, part of what this meeting could be foretelling is clarity, conviction, and spoken commitments. This is an oath-making moment. She goes on to say, and because they're all convening in Pisces, a sign that is known for its vulnerability, imagination, universalism, poetry, kindness, compassion, empathy, and ability to dissolve all boundaries, this astrological event can be thought of as a prayer, an articulation of our commitment to all that we find holy in the world and beyond. This is about coming back, coming back to our center, coming back to our life force, our authentic nature. And the word truth, so along with this higher aspect, the word, everything about being high, higher, high noon, high time, not being high in the literal, in the other literal sense, the word truth. So keep the word truth in mind as well. She goes on to say, and because they're, in the world beyond, Pisces tends to the soul of a situation, not the societal demands placed upon it. It dreams boldly and softly of a world where no one is sacrificed, left, or lonely. Mercury is said to be in double trouble in this sign. And remember all these doubles, double twos, eights, tens, 28s, as it is the home of both Mercury's fall and exile. Here, the planet of communication, Mercury, ponders names of worlds yet to manifest that whisper to us through dreams and insights, paying little mind to the reality at hand. The unseen, we have been talking about this, about the world to come, the world before us. And so here the planet of communication ponders names for worlds we've yet to manifest that whisper to us through dreams and insights, paying little mind to the reality at hand. It's like we've been speaking about this, about not, it's not that the world events are not occurring, but it's to pierce the illusion, to look beyond them to the world before us, the one that came before us and the one that is literally before us, in front of us. Chani goes on to say, still, this can be helpful medicine to those of us swamped by fury at the current depravity of the world. Saturn has been in Pisces since March of 2023 and will be here until May of 2025. The Madame of Boundaries becomes a deep-diving mer, meaning sea, mer creature in Pisces, giving shape to our devotion, or embodying the shape of devotion itself. Saturn's time here is an invitation to commit to tending to the soul of our lives and our world. It's not about the ego, mind, personality anymore. It's not about divine patriarchy and divine masculine. It is about divine feminine, Aquarian age, matriarchal. So this tending to the soul of our lives and our world. The two together being purified, fortified, and infused with soul's sacred light, the sun, is a meditation in a holy space. The holy space of dreaming what is possible. It is about connecting with our soul source connection, about with our intuition, with the world that is before us, that is to come, and that we are an active participant. Now, she goes on, she was speaking about some other things, and I just want to pick this up because it was so profound. In conclusion, Chani Nicholas, the astrologer, she says, if I search for what is kind and good and moral, I find a lot of it. And that is what I want to commit to with these Kazemis. I pray that I will not let this moment diminish my belief in what is possible. I will not let it make me lose faith in us. I will not let my rage consume me, and I will not let it burn the bridge between us. I will remain fortified by the prayers and actions of my fellows, my fellow humankind, human beings. I will remain inspired by all the ways that the human spirit persists and wants to know beauty, love, and freedom. I will remain open to the dream that millions upon millions of us have, the dream of a world where no one is less than, no one's humanity is reduced, no one's God is withholding. I will radically commit to the truth that we all deserve to be liberated from systems of supremacy. I promise to let my heart be broken again and again and still seek the sweetness of a beloved's embrace. I promise to pray for the courage to act when it is my time. I promise to remain curious. I promise to use what I can, when I can, however I can, to center the extreme importance of truth, because that is the only way I know how to tend to the soul of my life and this world. So we have this higher ideal, this higher mind, higher opportunity, higher octave, centered on truth, not an illusion, not alternate realities and alternate facts, which is an oxymoron in itself, but truth, the purity of truth, the purity of high noon, the light, that light that renews and illuminates and burns away anything that is not, that is of a shadow aspect. It purifies. And that's where we are. And so with this Mercury, Saturn, Sun, Kazemi, positively aspecting Jupiter, the great benefactor, we have this opportunity, this moment, to revitalize, renew. And we're coming into spring in the Northern Hemisphere. It's coming up in March. And so again, we're burning away all of these elements. The first thing the unseen said with our high noon and the high time for change was turning tables. And it was the song playing by Adele, but it's turning tables. And they said, let's talk change. And so we have this turning tables. And I'm just bringing this up. Turning tables is reverse one's position relative to someone or something else, especially by turning a position of disadvantage into one of advantage. So here the unseen is saying to us, it's high noon. It's high time for change. Turning tables. Let's talk change. Exclamation point, change underlined. And that it's turning something from a position of disadvantage into advantage. This ending into a beginning. And this, you know, this painful moment that we are all going through, we are bearing witness to the conclusion, the end of the cycle of the divine masculine patriarchal Piscean era. And it's not fun. It's not pretty. you know, however, it is an illusion in the sense that we must, in order to know where we're going, we've got to know where we've been. We've got to look at the goo and at the shadow and bring it into the light to transmute it. And we need to do that within ourselves, individually, so that it manifests collectively. And to not be afraid to look at the shadow aspects of ourselves. Allow them to refine you, not define you. There are no mistakes, only choices. And where our choices lead us are the experiences that we will have. But they're choices. And so everything is divine and neutral. Everything's purposeful. And this is where, and then we look to leap forward, to embrace and move forward. The second thing the unseen said was, high in the clouds, the heavens, man ascends, reaps, receives, with multiple exclamation points. So there's this message of high in the clouds, the heavens, man ascends, reaps, receives. And so, again, here's this beautiful image, the way appears, and it is the two in the dominoes with the line between it. And it's literally as above, so below. So high in the clouds, in the heavens, man ascends, reaps, receives. This is universal. It's universal law. It's what's transpiring. It is where it is the world before us. It's where we're going. Let me bring in, and just with that, our mantra. I'm going to bring up our mantra. It's this beautiful image of this human being standing out almost on the precipice of this cliff. You see the sun kind of shimmering behind clouds. And the mantra is, my purpose is greater than myself. My purpose is greater than myself. We are not our purpose. We are the custodians of it. This is our, everything we do, we are the custodian of. And you will see some of the Sabian symbols coming up where when we identify with our life experience, with our purpose, with our, you know, masks and labels and titles and status and everything, we're disconnected, we're lost. Because our purpose is greater than ourselves. What we've come to do, our soul is greater than our ego, mind, personality. And yet the ego, mind, personality, the self or the human, receives the benefit of the experience. But they are not the experience. They are not the source of the experience. They are the custodian of it. So we are the custodian of our human experience. And so this beautiful mantra, just bringing it back up again, my purpose is greater than myself. Listen to your soul source connection, connect with your soul, and then listen and see, what is my purpose? And your purpose can change. In each given moment, your purpose can be smaller in duration, shorter in duration, or lifelong. It can be a combination of both. Keep listening to what your purpose is and then be the custodian of it, the care provider, the caretaker of it. And recognize that it is coming through you. You are the vessel that is the custodian of this purpose. Let's move through to hexagram 28. I want to bookend these, and then I'm going to come back to, nope, they're telling me to go to North Point Journal. So we're going to go to North Point Journal, Pam Youngins. I'm going to share my screen with you all again. I love this image that she used. This is Pam Youngins with North Point Journal. And you see an individual walking this path, this dirt path that is at the top on the ridge line, if you will, of, and remember, critical mass, ridge poles, ridge line. So, and yet when you look out far into the distance, you have no idea where this journey is taking you. You have no idea. You cannot see between the mountaintop and the sky what's on the other side of what you can actually see before you. Does it drop off? Does it lift you up? Does it, where does it go? It's unknown. And that is exactly this. The world before us is unknown. We have an inkling, a knowing. We're on the path. And yet, we don't know what's on the other side. And so, North Point Journal, and by the way, that's an image by, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Quan Nguyen Vinh, or Van. So North Point Journal, Pam Youngins, and she says, "The Adventures of Jupiter. Jupiter, the planet of optimism and faith, encounters some obstacles this week, being in hard aspect to both Mars and Neptune. We may find our beliefs challenged by circumstances that are outside of our conscious control in the days ahead, or perhaps feel disillusioned by something that has not lived up to our ideals or expectations. The Mars-Jupiter square is exact to the degree on Tuesday, February 27th, this was yesterday, but its influence colors at least a day or two on both sides of that date. With Jupiter in tradition-loving Taurus and Mars in revolutionary Aquarius, events that occur are triggered by a clash between the familiar and the progressive, between tried and true solutions and inventive ideas." There's this push-pull aspect, because again, we're moving forward. It's just there's, you know, again, the trains in the station, one coming in, one getting ready to leave, and the magnitude of that energy. Mars is the planet of action and desire, and Jupiter always magnifies what it touches. So here's Jupiter magnifying both Mars in this confrontational aspect. It's also magnifying the Sun, Mercury, and Saturn in that Kazemi. Since a square aspect indicates problematic situations, people may be especially impatient and excitable early in the week, overreacting to anything that seems to threaten their freedom. There is a sense of urgency here, a need to escape, but perhaps without clear understanding or consideration of longer-term consequences. There was a, for me personally, there was an energy Monday and Tuesday where I'm like, oh my gosh, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's move it along. And you just want to leap forward and go, and yet you have to steady yourself because, again, there's an unknown factor. There are things that have not been revealed yet. Here, more importantly, Jupiter and Neptune. The Jupiter-Neptune semi-square perfects to the degree on Sunday, this coming Sunday, March 3rd. While a semi-square is called a minor hard aspect, even minor aspects between Jupiter and Neptune can be significant since both of these planets move more slowly through the zodiac. It's like the atmospheric rivers that have been drenching the West Coast and certainly California. You know, it's like this: these two slow-moving planets come in and they kind of, they don't stall, but it's like they move slower. Well, atmospheric rivers come in and stall, move slower, and they saturate, they inundate. That slower pace also means that this influence is longer lasting, being strong for at least a week before and after the exact date. Hard aspects between Jupiter and Neptune represent a challenge to our beliefs, our ideals, and our faith. There can be a sense of confusion as we realize that the beliefs we relied on for stability are no longer valid. Critical mass. This, things are collapsing. So there can be a sense of confusion as we realize that the beliefs we relied on for stability are no longer valid. We may feel adrift in the fog without an anchor to stabilize us, nor signposts or stars to navigate by. This is when faith undergoes its greatest test, when we are feeling unsure or unclear. For in truth, faith and certainty are on opposite ends of the spectrum. When we have certainty, we do not need faith. When we have faith, we do not need certainty. Another possible manifestation of this Jupiter-Neptune influence is having unrealistic expectations, a pie-in-the-sky idealism that is merely masquerading as faith. In this situation, both introspection and a reality check may be necessary. So again, discern between what is real, what is true, and what is, we've conjured it up. It's make-believe. It's pie in the sky. So that we're at least aware. It doesn't mean don't hope and have faith and dream and so forth and be childlike. And however, it's also to marry that with tangible action or inaction, a knowingness, when to proceed, so that we know that we are not just buying into an illusion or creating an illusion for ourselves. She goes on to say, Pam Youngins goes on to say, as we work with both Jupiter aspects this week, the only thing that may be clear is that the past, much of what we have relied on for stability, is dissolving. See, it's going away. These institutions and the way of doing things, this patriarchal Piscean era, divine masculine, is dissolving. We may not know where our next steps will take us, but we can pause and ground ourselves into the present moment and into the earth, having faith in the now, and thus not needing to either whitewash or worry about the future. Being in the now, the only thing we have is the now, the present moment. And so it's incredibly important. And I'm reminded of this beautiful saying, you're never lost, you're always somewhere. And so whether it's literally, directionally lost, you're lost, or you feel you're lost, stop and say, I'm never lost, I'm always somewhere. Soul, where am I? Check in, take stock. Find this higher octave, this higher knowing, this higher message, this truth. Because over and over and over again, the message is about truth, high noon, the illumination of truth, which is purity. The truth speaks for itself. So, because number three, the unseen, you see my hands going, the unseen, it's number three, the Trinity, this whole thing. And they said, the unseen said, higher ideals change the world. Higher ideals change the world. And then they said in quotes, can change the world. Can change the human experience! Exclamation point. So what's required of us? So they're saying to us, the unseen is saying to us, higher ideals change the world. Can change the world. The human experience. Well, that means we have to choose them. We have to be willing to choose and to be, to embody, to become higher ideals, higher versions of ourself. That is what is required of us. As we go to hexagram 28, because it's so on point, critical mass, its action is to adjust. Its hidden influence is one, the creative, the divine masculine, the creative, initiate. To choose something is to initiate. It's to know, the receptive, and then to act upon it. These higher ideals. It's underlining cause, nourishing vision, nurture. That we're to nurture ourselves. We're to nurture the soul of ourselves, the soul of a nation, the soul of humanity, the soul of Mother Earth, the soul. That we're to nourish it, cherish it, choose it. As the higher ideal, because that higher ideal can change the world. It certainly does change the world, was their point, but it can. It can because we're not choosing it. So critical mass can have the message that something is too much, or a situation has come to a condition of critical mass, and an adjustment is needed. This high noon, high time for change. The roof has become too heavy for the support of the ridge poles or the foundation. And let me just go to number five at this point. The unseen 5E, they said, the ridge poles burning, the ridge poles collapsing. I advance because I can. So imagine you're in a structure and the roof structure is ablaze. It's burning. It's collapsing. You don't just stand there and watch it collapse and fall down on you. The ridge pole's burning, collapsing. I advance because I can. You make an assessment. You recognize that I am to move forward. I am to remove myself from danger, from harm. whatever that, this critical mass, the ridge poles, whatever they can represent a relationship in your personal life, a place of employment, something where you're stuck, any number of things, mental thoughts, any one of these things and a combination thereof can represent the ridge poles burning and collapsing. The sun burning, this Kazemi, it's talking about burning away, the nine, they're at 9 degrees. It's the completion of a cycle. It means that we are all being guided and directed to look at what are the ridge poles? What are the tents where the ridge poles are collapsing and burning? We see it in our society. We see it all across the world, across the globe, where the old mentality, the old way, so the tent, this structure is in need of adjustment. The roof has become too heavy to support for the support of the ridge poles or the foundation. They're going away. And we're meant to then move ourselves, advance. I advance because I can. And remember this beautiful image that we've had. This has been for quite some time in the shows, this image of advance. So important. Advance, advance, advance. And do so again with cautious advance, treading, 10, cautious advance. Olivia saying the sun flares this past week really messed up communications, right? They're constantly burning away. They're constantly, these sun flares are constantly affecting Earth, our bodies, our structures, our communications, our infrastructures, because they're going to be higher. So exuberance of thought or ideas are weighing down on an old foundation that was built to support the past. See, enthusiasm, exuberance, this knowing of thought or ideas of what's to come, the world before us, are weighing down on an old foundation that was built to support the past. Being out of touch with the reality of the situation or excess of some kind can be at play. Critical mass suggests the hidden influence of the creative at the root of the situation, where this tension is actually the driving force of great creativity and accomplishment. The creative is, the divine masculine in its purity, in its creative force, is to initiate, to advance, to move forward. It is to effect change. It is to bring it about. The receptive is to know that it's required, that it's present, that it's time. And how when they work in tandem with one another, how artfully divine and beautiful that is. Because your going is guided. You know what to do and when to do it. Nature uses tension to push all things beyond the known. Opposites collide and all are lifted to a higher, more sustainable level. Even while critical mass feels uncomfortable, it will lead to a readjustment. In this case, you may have to push beyond what you feel is limiting you by adapting and adjusting. Nature adapts and adjusts. It reaches to the light. It is naturally harmonic. It will go where it knows. It just effortlessly goes where it knows to go. It doesn't stop to say, oh, should I grow this way or that way? It grows where it knows to, where the sun leads it. You may need to stand alone with no support during this time of crisis and simply give form to your vision. Too much of a good thing is not always good. So critical mass can also suggest moderation. See this treading, correct discipline, this correct advance or cautious advance. Nourishing vision without putting it to proper use reveals an underlying cause of perhaps needing to, quote, come out and show the world what you have been working on, where you have been hidden. So what this is saying is nourishing vision without putting it to proper use, it's like sweeping your house and then leaving it, never picking it up with the dustpan. It's like creating things, becoming things, knowing that you and never showing them to the light of day, to the world. So this whole perhaps needing to come out and show the world what you have been working on. This can be a perfectionist who spends a lot of time practicing but is fearful of competition or feedback. Look to your work to stand on its own merit. Remember, what is yours is yours. It's not competition, it's collaboration. Anybody that's in competition, you don't have to compete for something that's already yours. Just show up, listen to your divine soul source connection, let be the custodian of the purpose, let it come through you, be as authentic and truthful and pure, and allow it to speak for itself. Should it be meant to, and remember the audience, you know, life is like art. Not every piece of art is for every person. Actors, they know this all the time. They get rejected all the time. Why? Because the producers, the director or somebody wants, they have a vision of what they want. It doesn't, has no bearing on the actor or actress. It's just that these two things aren't aligned. When they are aligned, it's magic. It's magical. It's amazing. So don't take it personally. Work through, but keep showing up. Keep revealing yourself. Because if no one ever sees your greatness, it's the bushel under, you know, the light under the bushel basket. No one will ever see it. And so it's to not be fearful. So look to your work to stand on its own merit. Believe in what you are doing and don't worry about support and acceptance, because that is the message of this hexagram. Be undaunted. However, this can be a situation where ideas have taken over what is actually witnessed as experience. You may be heaping an old way of thinking on a foundation of the past. Either way, a quantum leap, it's a leap year, it's a leap month. They have talked to us about leaping forward. Remember this leapfrog. Here's the image. It was one of our mantras, leapfrog. And we go straight to higher status. 11, the most intuitive. To 42 representing the Godhead, the God source, and this quantum leap. So we have this, either way, a quantum leap into a new way of interacting is in the air, age of Aquarius, fixed air. The old way of interacting is not sustainable, and the old paradigm will crumble. Critical mass holds the essence of the sage's greatest lesson, tranquility in disturbance. It means being in the center of the storm, being in the eye of the hurricane. On the periphery, it's chaotic and chaos, but here it's tranquility in disturbance. It's calm in chaos. It's piercing the illusion and advancing. It's recognizing high noon. It's high time for change. And advancing with it. It is not expectation that you hold to. It is the certainty that everything is unfolding perfectly to create change. You succeed because you find that the tension can actually generate excitement and the joy of doing the work. Yes, it's, you know, we know the beasts we know. Okay, fine. And yet, how exciting is it when the idea comes, when the inspiration comes, when the knowing comes? And then we walk through the fire, this soul, you know, in the heart of the sun, and then we get to the other side and we think, oh, this is so amazing, you know, the joy, the excitement and everything. What took me so long? Why was I waiting? Why was I worried or hesitating? You just do it. You get to it. It's high noon. It's high time for change. Oh, I love this, the unseen. Let me just finish up with this. And this is Carrie Hone with CafeOSoul.com that we're working with from the hexagram, hexagram 28. When the excessive overwhelms the weak will rise in a chain reaction, whether in politics, the natural world, or within the paradigm of the individual. So see, wherever something within us individually is weak, shadowed, oppressing us, keeping us down, it can be ourselves, literally a thought, a label, a mask, an identity. It's keeping us small. It's keeping us down. When the excessive overwhelms the weak will rise. So our innate nature, our truth, our authenticity will rise. The wind, with the creative at its center, is seeking a transition. But the lake can be viewed as joyous oblivion. From within you, the creative seeks expression, and being naturally yourself is your only option. Truth, authenticity, soul source connection, soul leading the way. It's your only option. Anything less than that, it's not original, it's artificial. It's made up. It's something your ego, mind, personality has layered masked and layered over the purity and the luminosity of your soul, of your authentic nature. While the ridge pole sags, it furthers one to have somewhere to go. The transition will lead you somewhere. See, you're never lost, you're always somewhere. The transition will lead you somewhere. Critical mass suggests an unnatural condition that contains within it the power for renewal. Critical mass, and think about so, an unnatural condition. Unnatural means it's an ego-mind personality construct. The reason a higher ideal can change, or the higher ideals change the world. They can change the world. So it's this unnatural condition, these ego-mind personalities, mass, labels, identities, position, all these things that are unnatural conditions because they're not representative of your true light, your true nature, your divine nature. And so, however, that unnatural condition that contains within it the power for renewal, because the soul is ever-present, omnipresent, omniscient, omni-everything. And thereby, when you connect to it, it has the power for renewal. Critical mass is like the explosion of the Big Bang, where new life emerged from a point of nothingness. In actuality, life was already there, just in another form. The world before us is already there. It's in another form. We are rising up to meet it, to greet it, to be worthy of it, to be equal of it. We already are. We just have to unburden, unlayer, unmask. Authenticity and naturalness is life's main thrust. Meeting the challenge becomes your point of reentry into a more sustainable way of interacting, even if the atmosphere has grown heavy. So it's like meeting the challenge becomes your point of reentry. This is like, and here's number four from the unseen, and it fits so perfectly with this. I heard lost and found, you know, a lost and found. And they said right with it, I once was lost, but now am found. And this is a lyric from Amazing Grace. It was written by John Newton. And from geneva.edu, they said, John Newton was a man that despicably sold other human beings in the slave trade. As he states in the hymn, he was a wretch, but God found him. He was saved by God's amazing grace. And it is that grace that sets God's people free when, at the prodding of the Holy Spirit, we freely accept it for ourselves. So this says it: everything is purposeful. Everything is divine and neutral. There is nothing that you have done or become or chosen that through God's grace and Holy Spirit and so forth, that you cannot be, that you cannot overcome, and you cannot come into oneness with. The light, source, spirit, symphony, the all that is. However, what's required, like with John Newton, what was required? This, you know, what's coming to me is this coming to Jesus, that term that's used when it's like this reckoning with self, with ego, mind, personality, and soul, with others, with where we are, with the choices that we're making in life, and that we choose higher ideals, higher mind, highest point in our abilities. I want to bring up, I got the two quotes that we have, and this, I love this one. It's an image of two unicorns, white, beautiful white unicorns with the northern lights, the aurora borealis, and we had that from, I believe, last week's show, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And it says, the quote is, to follow the energy of life, you will discover that it is always seeking the best of what you might become. Your soul source connection, the high in the clouds, the heavens, man ascends, reaps, receives. The way to follow the energy of life, to follow source, the energy of life, you will discover that it is always seeking the best of what you might become. This is a quote by Carrie Hone and CafeOSoul.com. Our second quote, equally beautiful, to Love Dove. So these doubles, double unicorns, love doves, and doves mate for life. And the quote is, each serving the other, oneness is achieved. So when we are in, this is by source, so when we are in service to one another, oneness is achieved because we are the other. We are individual fractals of the whole. And also the unicorn, this mythical, magical creature. And the unicorn is a symbol of power, honor, strength, and respect. It is a untamable creature, meaning because it is so pure and because it is of source energy, it's untamable because it already is. It already knows its nature. That is a representation of us, of humans, of humanity, of who we truly are. Not who we've told ourselves we are, not who we've quote-unquote become by not listening, but in our truth, in our authentic nature, in our high noon aspect, we are this equally mythical, magical, untamable creature, because the soul is powerful and strong and courageous and excitable. It's creation, excitable, and all-knowing, divine feminine, all-knowing. It knows. Number six with the unseen, they said, so when the ridgepoles are burning and collapsing and I advance because I can, they said, and six, spirit and service, they said, it's a choice. Choose! Exclamation point. And then they said, choose wisely! Exclamation point. And thereby, everything is, see, there are no mistakes. Everything is a choice. It's a choice to come here. The soul chooses to come. The soul chooses its soul family. It chooses its lessons and its experiences. It chooses all of this. And then we, as human beings, incarnate. The soul incarnates, chooses, the body chooses. Choice, 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 choice. And so there are no mistakes. There's only choices. And when we allow the choices and perceived as good, bad, or indifferent, then there's this aspect of recognizing that each time we choose something, we're the custodian of that choice, we're the custodian of that experience. It's either in concert with or contrary to true north, highest ideal. And then a series of unfoldments, flowering, and it will keep unflowering. So there's a point at which, when is something ever a mistake if you're constantly learning, gaining, receiving from that choice? And there's a ripple effect about that. And so it's a deeper conversation to go into, but the message here is bringing it back to center and bringing it home, so to speak, the Lady Jacqueline, bringing it home. Back on the 14th, we had Bring Me a Higher Love. Today on the 28th, in this leap year, this leap month, we have high noon, high time for change, which means it's past time. It's past time for us to get it right, to get in alignment, to go where we're meant to go. And the bottom line is, it's a choice, and we must choose. Each one of us must choose. Individually and collectively. What is the world we wish to live in? Who are we as an individual? Who do we really truly want to be? Do we want to be the masks, the labels, the identities, the fears, the insecurities, the shadow side of ourselves, and have those experiences? Or do we choose to be the higher ideal and the higher aspect of ourselves? Do we choose to reach higher? Because make no mistake, New Earth, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, let me bring up this image again, is all about this image of two worlds. Here it is. You look in the sky. Look at the birds. The birds are omens of spirit, the unseen. Here are the mountains. And then you literally see two earths, two globes that represent one passing away, the new one in the foreground before the one before us. And thereby, there is this, the beginning and the end and the beginning. There's this choice to be made. Because we are, I'm just going to shoot through these. It's a leapfrog year. Go straight to higher status. 11 to 42. That's what's on offer to us. A quantum leap. And we go straight. We go direct. There's no zigzagging. There's no hem-hawing. There's no riding the fence and all this good stuff. Because X marks the spot. This butterfly with the X, the illumination of the sun, this renewal, this rebirth. They've said to us, open the gates of wisdom within. It's a choice. It's an inside job. We will advance. You have the golden ticket. New adventure awaits. It is that what's before us is the return to the mother. Freedom, Manu mission, the divine feminine, the Aquarian age, Amaji in Sumerian. The critical mass is the big tent. We're exceeding it. And again, look at the joy and the childlike behavior with the carousels and how we're reaching in the hot air balloons. We're exceeding the old foundations, the old knowing, the old structures, the old identities of ourselves, of our world. We're exceeding it. The tent poles, it's like we don't need the tent anymore. Remember, this is like the big tent and tabernacle. And with Master Jesus and the crucifixion and resurrection and everything, the temple, we became the temple. So we already are. The new covenant is that heaven on earth and the presence of God, of Source, is within us. We are one. Olivia said, we are not in the world, the world is within us. Yes, but however, in actuality, they are one and the same. We are within each other. Contained within the one is the other. And thereby, it's no longer fixed and earthbound like this tent and everything. We're exceeding it. The ridge poles are burning or collapsing. I advance because I can. So the unseen is telling us, advance. Because the way appears, as above, so below, so a celestial occurrence, the way appears, and this is the endless knot of karma is broken. The new goes on forever, for eternity. It is not a continuation of the old. It is a completely new order, new way. And so this is Alexander the Great and the Gordian knot. This endless knot, the image on the screen is of the endless knot, and it represents karma. We will be moving beyond karma, the Kazemi, where we are in the heart of the sun, and we are purified, we are rehydrated, we are renourished, we are renewed for this new adventure, for the new. It'll feel like a blast-off, an accelerated blast-off. This, as Olivia was speaking to about the cosmic flares and this feeling that we are going to blast off and that it's accelerated. The image from Disney Pixar's Up, you know, where our home, our vessel, our body is our home, is the home of the soul. And we're lifted up. Look at this. All those massive balloons, colorful balloons being lifted up. Because it's time to shine. Step by step, putting it together, it's time to shine. And today becomes a 20, which is a 2. The owl, and the golden apple, this divine wisdom and divine knowing, the purity of it, the truth of it, the authenticity of it. This is who we are. And where do we land? It's that radiant image of sunflowers, just glowing, because that is our true nature. That is our soul nature. They're very, 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 and we have, you know, last but not least, we have the luck of the Irish with us. This was from March of last year, March 2023, this image, and yet it's so applicable. All of these images are applicable, that it came to me how it's all coming exactly. It's like Olivia saying, I love how you are bringing all of the images together. I was just going to say, Olivia, they, the unseen, showed me this morning as I was prepping for the show. They were showing me, look at all of these images and how they all connect, how we've been guiding you so purposefully. And I got goosebumps all over me. And this luck of the Irish, and this leapfrogging, and this advancing and moving. And they just keep saying to us, choose it, choose it, choose it. And we're going to end with, the Sabian symbols are really powerful. I'm not going to go through all of them. I wish we had more time. I'm going to get to them right now. I want to go to the two. Let me just bring up the astrological chart. On the chart you see on your screen, look at the bottom of the astrological wheel, and you will see the moon and the south node. South node, and they're both in Libra. The south node is what we're releasing, and the moon revealing what's hidden, and so forth. And I'm going to focus on these two for what we're releasing. And let me just get to them. And so we have this, here's the moon. Chanticleer's voice heralds sunrise. A chanticleer is the name of a rooster in a fairy tale or a medieval fable. So Chanticleer's voice heralds sunrise. So the rooster's voice heralds sunrise. The keynote is a creative and joyous response to life processes. The rooster that crows at the first coloring of dawn appears at the eastern horizon is a beautiful symbol of the ability demonstrated by all pioneers and cosmically attuned individuals to give voice to what is as yet unmanifested, but is on the way to manifestation. So it's heralding the unknown. At the ego level, the rooster may feel that he makes the sun rise. See, where we become identified with our purpose. But our purpose, like the mantra, our purpose is greater than myself. So at the ego level, the rooster may feel like he or she is the sun, is making the sun rise. But someday, he or she will learn through painful experiences that to create is only to reveal what essentially is. See, we're revealing what already exists. We are the custodians. We are not source. We are not original intelligence in the sense that the ego mind personality is making something happen. The rooster does not make the sun rise. The rooster heralds the unknown. It demonstrates, and it is the custodian of heralding. So its purpose is to herald the rise of a new day, to herald the rise of the sun, to herald the rise of the unknown, what essentially is. It is the vivid recognition of the as yet unknown in the known. This symbol should make us think afresh about issues we too often take for granted. At every sunrise, there are a few isolated witnesses that herald the coming of a new day. Should you know in your being that the coming of a new day, the world before us, is the new? Be an isolated witness. Embody it. Be it. What is at stake here is the individual's capacity of response to life's renewals. Renewals which are cyclic, predictable, yet always new, always creative. So it is a belief that the sun will always rise. It is a belief that the new world will go on forever. So it can be cyclical, it can be predictable, and yet it's always new and it's always creative because it's unknown, it's ever unfolding. It's what is being manifest. The south node, equally important. So you can see how the moon, the symbol for the moon, is tying in to not associate or identify, let me say, to not identify yourself with your life experience, your status, your label, where you live, what you have, you know, who you build. That's all an illusion. What's true is that you're the custodian of it. Now here is the last piece with the south node. Two men placed under arrest. Think about this against the backdrop of world events. The keynote, a breakdown in the constructive relationship between the individual and society and the expectable result. If it is to remain steady and consistent, every form of order must be able to protect itself by the application of sanctions. Both a society and a personal ego constitute forms of order. Any form of order excludes what the form cannot securely and safely hold. It excludes or exiles the alien, the unassimilable. It cannot send them to outer space. It must isolate them in a special type of inner space, a prison. So if it cannot send them to outer space, it must isolate them in a special type of inner space, a prison. The individual whose actions introduce unacceptable principles into the established order runs the risk of being, quote, punished or reformed, according to this order. The problem for a society is how to include in its patterns of order agencies or channels for transformation. So the problem for society is how to include in its patterns of order agencies or channels for transformation, and particularly how to keep them truly operative. How do you keep the trains running? How do you keep the system operating in its purity, in its authenticity, in its original intelligence, its original form? For individuals, it is how to make their transforming vision or impulse acceptable to society. So how do we take what's innate to us as an individual, introduce it, show up, come out, show up and present it, but ensure do no harm, that you're doing no harm, that it is in alignment with society? The symbol does not reveal what caused the breakdown in the relationship between the individual and the society. But if one also considers the symbols that follow, one's thoughts may be led back to the image of the storm that wrecked boat landings. The suggestion is that whatever violence is released originates in unconscious pressures, the sea and the wind as examples. A new step in the evolution of society, the industrial and electronic revolutions of the last 150 years, I believe that's meant to be the industrial and the electronic revolutions, and we've been talking about for some time, Pluto and Aquarius, not since the French and American and the industrial revolutions. So here this symbol is saying a new step in the evolution of society has caused a collective worldwide upheaval which led to widespread violence. We're at this junction again. The fact that two men are pictured under arrest suggests a polarization and a purpose transcending a merely personal fit of recklessness. This is the third stage of the 40th sequence. Negative as the image may seem, one may see implied in it the power in every individual to assume social risks to express their convictions or deepest desires. Nevertheless, one thing is needed: facing the consequences. So again, it's a choice. Choose wisely. Nevertheless, one thing is needed: facing the consequences. There is a consequence to every choice, and we must face those consequences. We must be responsible and held accountable to them, because when our choices negatively impact the whole, the society, it gets put into a prison. There are consequences for those choices. And equally so, facing the consequences, imagine when industry, So to every business, every government, every person, because all of anything that is commercial or government, they're run by people. It is a collaboration of people. Imagine the consequence when the people that are aligned in industries and businesses and small businesses and governments and institutions all collaborate in a positive manner on behalf of the whole. The consequences of that? Celebration, adoration, appreciation, endearment, enthusiasm, wanting to be a part of it, expansion, more creativity. That's the consequence of choosing right. Facing the consequence of illicit choices, of a kill or be killed mentality, is prison. Prison as an institution, prison as a company, prison as an individual, as a society, prison. It's a choice. Choose. Choose wisely. I love you all so much. Thank you for bearing with us. For me, what an incredibly wonderful, and I say that to the unseen. This is not, I'm not in any way, shape, or form tooting my horn. I'm tooting the universe's horn, the unseen, spirit, source, and symphony, and the magic and awe and the purity and truth of their wisdom and their message. I love you all. Can't wait to leap forward and see you all next week in the month of March. Until then, be well, be kind with yourselves and others, and choose wisely.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.